prayer is that would be that the Lord would accept our worship and our praise today. Do you ever just stop and realize that that's the reason that you came this way? You didn't come this way just because it was just church time and you were supposed to be here. But we literally have an opportunity, Larry, to come in together this morning and worship Him and praise Him. That song said not just that He's enough, but Brother Harold, He's more than enough. More than enough, not just enough, but He is more than enough. And this song I've sang for a little while now, Brother Snyder sang for years, but it is the same message, Brother Brian, today, as it was all of those years that we've heard it. And it is simply this: I've been through enough to know that He will be enough for me. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valleys He led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. So faithful, He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why, 'cause I've seen Him work before, and I know what God can do. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough. Because I've been through enough to know. 'cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me.
Appreciate a couple seconds, brother, over here. Let me transition a second and catch my wind. But again, it's good to be here this morning and back in God's house. I wanted to just give us a reminder this morning of what God can do. And so that's the direction that we're going to head in. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, if you would. Just a reminder to all of us what the Lord can do this morning. What the Lord can do to the person that's bound. As you're making your way to Mark chapter number 5, in just a moment, I will read verse number 1 down through verse number 6. And let me say this before we read. The training of a circus elephant. How do they train and tame a circus elephant? Well, it's through the process of an elephant being chained. From birth, the baby elephant has been chained to a small post in the ground. The chain goes around the leg of the baby elephant, and then, of course, it connects to the post, small chain in length. As the baby elephant grows into full adulthood, it's very apparent that this now fully grown elephant has the ability, with one pull away from the attached post, could set itself free. But instead of going free with the power that it has, the elephant spends its time believing there's no way out, nor there's no way to be free from this post in this chain. It doesn't even make an attempt because of the past impossibilities. That's how they train a circus elephant, by keeping it chained up. And the elephant is brainwashed. In like manner this morning, many people are in chains. Some are chained to sin. And then some, not even sin, but some are chained to their circumstances of life, believing that they cannot be set free. But this morning I want to remind us all, starting with myself, that Jesus is our chain breaker. Jesus can break every chain. And here in the story, here in chapter 5 of the book of Mark, we meet a man who actually was able to break his physical chains and to roam free and go free. But yet there were inside chains with this maniac man of Gadara that he was not able to break. And one day Jesus passed by and set him free. This morning, with that introduction, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject: Jesus, our chain breaker. Jesus, our chain breaker. And Jesus, as you know, is our chain breaker. He's the one that can break every chain, and he's the one that can set us free. The events leading up to Mark chapter number 5, we have several things that are taking place. We know that Jesus had been preaching to the multitudes. But then we find out that Jesus, he desires to pass over the sea to the other side after a very long day of preaching. And so that's where they were going. They were going to the other side. We know that they all encounter, the disciples encounter, a storm which Jesus ultimately calms. He calms their storm. Jesus makes one special stop before continuing his preaching to the multitudes, and that stop was to a specific man who was possessed by the devil, yet Jesus set him free. And so if you would, follow along in verse number 1 of chapter number 5. That's what's going on to this point, and we're about to look at a man whom God set free. Verse 1, the Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." I'm going to stop reading there in verse number 6. And again, this morning I want to mention some things concerning Jesus and how that he broke this man's chains, his inside chains, his inside chains. Number one, let me mention his condition. I want you to notice his condition. Verse number 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, we'll read again, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." Now, his condition was that he had an unclean spirit, or he had a demonic spirit. He was possessed with some kind of demon that's from the devil. He was demon possessed. And so I believe it's safe to say this morning that the devil had control of this man's life. Did you know this morning that the devil wants to control your life? Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. The devil wants to control everybody's life in this room. He wants to control everybody's life that's watching on Facebook. Doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter how old, none of us are exempt from being in chains. And so we see that the devil had full control of this man. He was demon-possessed. Now, John chapter 10 and verse 10, don't turn there, I'll just give you the verses, talks about the devil and how that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy lives. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 says that the devil is as a roaring lion and is walking about seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians, and I believe it's chapter number 2, verse number 11, tells us to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so the devil this morning wants to capture and wants to kill each and every one of us. And if we belong to Jesus, he cannot take our soul. He cannot take possession on the inside of us like this maniac man of Gadara. But he can influence us. And he can tempt us. And he can try to lead us astray and away from God's side. And so we see his condition. And that was, he had an unclean spirit. He was demon-possessed. Now, this was probably one of the worst cases that Jesus dealt with. Yet he changed his life. Probably one of the very worst cases he came across. Yet it wasn't too much for the Lord to change his own personal life. Don't turn there, but in the book of Matthew, chapter number 8, in verse 28, says that they were two demonic men. They were two. And I got to thinking about that. There were two demonic men in Matthew's account. Mark only accounts for one. And so putting this together in my mind, I kind of came to this conclusion. The gospel goes out to everyone, but not everyone will be saved. This maniac man of Gadara got in. He got saved. God broke his chains, but you don't hear about this other maniac man. So there's times in life where Jesus, he will save someone, and yet the very company a person has kept goes on living their life unsaved and living a life of failure and flesh. I don't understand it. I remember when the Lord saved me on November 19th, 2002. This will be 20 years this coming November, praise the Lord. And I remember I got a good friend, had a good friend, Chris Poole. I'll say his name, Chris Poole. He lived over off, still does, I believe, over off Mulkey Road behind the Taco Bell. And we were always together, getting into trouble, starting trouble, just trouble, trouble, trouble. People seen us coming, they said, there comes trouble. Here comes trouble. Well, the Lord saved me, and I went back to witness to him. And on several occasions, I'd be over there and just witnessing to him, telling him how the Lord changed my life. And, of course, he could see it. And giving him the gospel and all that. And I felt like that we got right up to the point of him saying yes to Jesus, and he never did. All of those times, getting right up to the point, I felt as though he was getting ready to be converted and give his life to the Lord and experience what God can do in breaking his chains, but he never did. He never did. And so there's times in life like these two maniac men of Gadara, one got in and one was still running loose. But this morning as we look at Jesus being our chain breaker, we look at this maniac man here in Mark 5, and we see his condition, and that is he was demon-possessed. Number two this morning, not only do I want to look at his condition, but I want to look at his habitation. His habitation. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2 and 3. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. His habitation was the cemetery. That's where he stayed. That's where he lived, at least while being demon-possessed. He hung out in this dark, dreary, dreadful place. No place for the living to be living is the cemetery. And so we see that his habitation was this cemetery. It was the graveyard among the tombs, the Bible says. And it was the place of the departed. We know that's what the cemetery is. When a person departs from their body and goes on to either be with the Lord or spend an eternity in hell, their body goes to the ground. It's the place of the departed. And so he lived there. And it was dark there. It was dreary. And again, he had company for a while, this other maniac man, if we piece it all together. Yet this man was not happy. This man lived in a very dreadful way, and even at times they tried to chain him. In the book of Luke, we see that it's actually said in the book of Luke, the account of this story, that this maniac man, he was driven of the devil into the wilderness. The devil drove him to where he was at. And that's what the devil wants to do this morning. He wants to be in the driver's seat of your life and mine. He wants to drive us away from God, out of church, away from our Bibles. He wants us to be so distracted and weighed down with the cares of this life that we do not please the one who has called us to be a soldier, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Luke says that he was driven by the devil or of the devil into the wilderness. And so here he is. His habitation is the graveyard, the place of the departed. It was a dark and dreary and dreadful place. He was driven by the devil there. And there he sat, this maniac man of Gadara. There may be some here this morning. There may be some watching on Facebook that's involved with dark things, that's living their life in some dark places. You're not hanging out in a cemetery, but you're associated with dark things like this man, a dark, dreary, dreadful place. You may be associated with dark, dreary, dreadful things. You may be involved with things that you shouldn't be, kind of like living in a cemetery, kind of like living in a place of the departed like this man was, just a dark, dreary, dreadful place. There's the darkness of disobedience and how it feels so dark in your life and mine whenever we're disobedient to the Lord. There's the darkness of deceit when you're acting like and when you're playing the game that everything's okay and I'm walking and talking with God, but behind the mask there's deceit. That's the very dark life to live, is a life of deceit, a life of an actor, a life of someone who's not the real thing. And then, of course, there's the dark web, the internet. And there's dark apps on the internet. So many people are involved in the darker side of the web, the internet. And all of these dark apps and all of these dark things that are associated with these apps. And so we see this morning that this man was involved in dark things. You may be involved in dark things. You may be tied and chained to these things in your life. And like the elephant, feels like he can't break free, although he has the strength to, this may be your case as well. Again, this morning, none of us are exempt. Any of us at any age, at any time, could be chained to some sin or circumstance. So I say this morning, don't be chained to your circumstances. Don't be chained to any sin. Allow Jesus, our chain breaker, to break you free. Let me mention something else. Not only his condition, his habitation, but then in verse number 3 and 4, his reaction. How did he react during this time of rebellion in his life? Well, verse number 3, the Bible says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. What's his reaction to people trying to intervene in his life? What was the reaction that he had when people tried to help him? The reaction was a rebellious attitude. He was just flat out rebellious. Those who cared for him tried to intervene. There were interventions in his life where family and friends came together to try to bind him and chain him physically so he couldn't hurt himself or others. But they were failed interventions. You know, there's a show out. It's been out for a long time. I believe it's on A&E called Intervention. And probably 3 years ago, they did a whole entire season. Let me see where, make sure where we're at. This way, going down Powder Springs Road, close to the actual nursing home where Barbara Anderson's at. I want to say maybe Hopkins Drive it is, I think. Hopkins Road, Hopkins Drive. They did a whole series on intervention with a couple of families down there. They were hooked on heroin. They were hooked on cocaine. They were robbing, stealing, and thieving. And even a lot of, some of them even died. Right here at home base, there was all this kind of drug activity. And there were interventions in their life. And it didn't work. It didn't work. Some of them went to jail, the people involved. Some of them died. Some of them had success for a short amount of time. But nonetheless, their chains were not broken. Their inside chains were not broken. And so that leads me to say that whenever someone is going through something, no doubt God will allow people to try to intervene and to help. But when it comes to a rebellious attitude, when it comes to someone who is rebellious and someone who thinks they can change at any time and doesn't change, that's what we're trying to get at this morning, is that they are totally restricted in spite of those helping them. So this man had people who cared for him and tried to help him, but could not. Now, notice if you would in verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Just the same point we're trying to make again, is that no man, verse 3, could bind him. Verse 4, any man could tame him. Often the Bible says he was bound by fetters and chains. Often. So many times in life we have people who try to help us often, who try to intervene often in our life, but because of this rebellious reaction of ourselves and this man here in the cemetery, he could break the physical chains, but those inside chains he could not break. The chains of sin and darkness had him bound on the inside. That's why family and friends couldn't control him and nurse him back to a healthy life. He needed inside change, not just outside change. You see, a lot of times people try to clean up the outside first. Real change happens on the inside, then the outside. And so he broke his chains on the outside, but he had inside chains. This morning we need to be changed on the inside. And when we're changed on the inside, real change will happen on the outside. And so we see his reaction in verse number 3 and 4, and that was that he was rebellious. Then I want to mention something else. Not only that, but we see his desperation in verse number 5. The Bible says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Isn't that sad? He was in a very desperate place. I say that because who cuts themselves crying and cutting themselves with stones? To me, that's a cry for help. I remember on one specific occasion, years ago actually, that we were at Floyd Road and I went. The service was over, and so we left. We were going outside, and one of my nieces was in the parking lot. And she approached me, true story, and she was crying. And she had all these tiny little gashes all over her face. I mean, just these had to be hundreds of gashes all over her face. I mean, really looked like something out of a horror movie, honestly. And so I said, "What happened to you? Everything okay?" And she just started crying, and she said, "Justin, I'm so ashamed of myself. I've been living a bad, bad, terrible life. I've got so much emotional pain, things I'm dealing with on the inside. And the only way I've been able to manage it is by getting some kind of blade and cutting a little nick in my skin, just on my face, And she sat there and she cried and she was saying, this pain is so bad. The only way that I get relief is by distracting myself with physical pain. And she'd cut herself and cut herself and cut her hands and all of these things. And so we were able to talk to her and pray with her. But I feel like that's what this man was doing. He was at a place of desperation, and he was possessed by the devil, and he lived in the cemetery, and he had so much inside pain, and he was connected with inside chains, and because of all of those things, he cried desperately, cutting himself, trying to distract from the emotional pain. You know, sometimes emotional pain is worse than physical pain. Because you can treat physical pain, but that emotional pain sometimes can be tricky. It can linger, and it can last for days, weeks, months, and even years. And it's a struggle sometimes to get control of our emotional pain. This morning, sometimes we get attached and chained to sin, but other times we're attached and chained to our circumstances. Things that we don't understand. Times in our life where we wish we would have handled things differently, and we beat ourselves up and we become chained and attached to those things, and we're so hard on ourselves. Well, Jesus wants to free us from all of those things this morning. He wants to be our chain breaker. Not only do we see his desperation, but then I want to mention his transformation. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. This man whom Satan was controlling and destroying was miraculously transformed into a preacher of the gospel. He went from demonic maniac to divine messenger. I want to say that's what Jesus can do this morning. Just a reminder to all of us. Just a reminder that Jesus can still do what he once did, he can do today. He transformed his life. And so literally what we have this man being changed and transformed. And then we have the other maniac going a separate way. When a person meets Jesus, when they decide they're going to live with Jesus, and they're running with a certain group, that group is either going to go your way or they're going to go the other way if you choose to follow the Lord. This other maniac in Matthew 8:28, he just went the other way. He did not want to go the way this man went, preaching the gospel, being with Jesus, did not want to do it. And so as much as we know, he just stayed in his demonic position. And so all of this happened when he met Jesus. His life changed. Verse number 6 tells us that when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He recognized him as the Savior. He worshiped him and he gave his life to Christ. Concerning his transformation, notice if you would in verse 15, that Jesus evidently broke some inside chains of darkness that he had. It says in verse 15, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed," that's a big one, "and in his right mind," that's a big one, "and they were afraid." They were afraid of him before, and they were afraid of him after. I would rather someone be afraid of me after I met Jesus than before, because it's the right kind of someone being afraid, I guess. Someone who's lost and someone who is just, wow, I cannot believe this happened. How in the world did their life change? Man, I'm staying away from them. But we want them to come. We want them to get saved as well. But what I'm saying is they were still afraid, although his life had changed. It was such a drastic change. They didn't know what was going on. So he was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. That's the transformation that Jesus can do. He can break every chain. Totally a different man. The outward was different because there was inward change. The people, again, were still afraid of him. And then he wanted to be with Jesus, but Jesus told him to go preach, so he did. Notice in verse number 18, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." What a blessing. His chains were broken. His inside chains were broken. He tried to break his outside chains. He succeeded at that. But you see, there had to be inward change before there can be outward transformation. And that's exactly what happened this morning. That's all I have. Just a short message this morning dealing with Jesus being our chain breaker. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning for who you are, for everything that you do. I pray, Lord, that someone was helped. I'm just trying to be obedient to you. And so I'll leave all the results up to you. If anything, thank you for reminding us what you can do and what you've done for literally since the beginning of time. Move in a mighty way during the invitation time, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand this morning. Invitation's given. If